that passage open, and let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do pray now that as we turn to think about your word, that you will speak to us. Open our ears and our minds and our hearts to hear and to understand what it is you have to say. Speak to us now, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I think Genesis chapter 4, the story of Cain and Abel, is not one that gets preached on very often. And I don't know how familiar you are with it. Very much in summary, Cain and Abel were sons of Adam and Eve. Both were farmers. Cain working the land, and Abel was being a sheep farmer. And in time, they came to make an offering to God, but Cain's was not accepted by God. It was rejected, and that made him angry. And he went on to kill his brother and suffer consequences from that action. Well, there's a very brief summary of chapter 4. And we're looking tonight at verses 2 to 7 under this series we're doing on so-called tricky texts. And I think these are ones the vicar doesn't like doing, so he gives them to everybody else. But these first seven verses bring us to the point where Cain and Abel have made their offering, and Cain's offering is rejected. And before, he goes on to kill his brother. We're thinking, why was Cain's offering not accepted? And what can we learn about it? So why was it rejected? The simple answer actually is we don't know. It's not clearly said. So we could just pack up and go home now. But there's a lot more we can actually go, because although we're not told specifically, there are many hints and clues, and we can make some pretty educated guesses. But on the face of it, it seems a very arbitrary decision by God to accept Abel's offering but not that of his brother. It seems it's not fair. It can make us feel uneasy. We find it hard to accept that God can act in that way. But maybe we're not told the exact reason why Abel's sacrifice and offering was accepted, because there are actually several lessons that we can learn. And if we were just given the one reason, this is why, one was accepted, it could enable us to say, well, I'm okay, I don't do that, and then we carry on our lives without thinking about anything else that might be affecting our lives. Or maybe we'd be challenged by it and we think, yeah, I need to sort that out in my life, and so we do, but we don't think then of looking at anything else that might be needed to change in our lives. And so as we look at this passage, we're going to think about the three players in the drama: God and Abel and Cain. And we're going to be thinking about God's grace and the attitude of the two brothers to God and to worship. So I'll start with the important person, which of course is God. And so much as we might like to know why Cain's offering was rejected, well, we're not told specifically. But what we can say is throughout this story, we can see in God's actions demonstrations of his grace, his unearned and undeserved love towards men. His acceptance of Abel's offering was an act of grace. It was because of his faith, not because of anything he had done, as we shall see in a few moments. But we need to remember that God, as our creator, indeed as the Lord of creation, as the sovereign Lord of the whole world, he has a right to accept or reject whom he will, even though that make us feel uneasy. Even though we may find it hard to accept why some are apparently rejected, especially as we believe that God is a loving and merciful and just God. But he says in Exodus chapter 33, verse 18, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and compassion on whom I will have compassion. So God chooses to show his mercy and compassion to some, but not others. It's difficult, but it is his right to exercise his royal prerogative, but in accordance with his plans and his purposes. And he doesn't need our approval. He doesn't need our understanding. There are other times in the Bible too where we see that he exercised his right to choose one person rather than another, just as he chose to accept Abel's offering over Cain's. He chose Jacob over his brother Esau. Now, Jacob was pretty devious, pretty cunning, not really deserving of God's grace and his mercy. But, says God in Malachi 1, verses 1 and 2, I have loved Jacob, but Esau I have hated. It was his right, in accordance with his plans, for all mankind to show grace and love to Jacob rather than to Esau. Again, he chose the people of Israel out of all the nations of the world to be his very own special people. Why them? Deuteronomy 7, verses 7 and 8. He did not set his affection on you and chose you because you are more numerous than other peoples, but because the Lord loved you. It was an act of grace and love. And so just as he's shown his grace towards Abel and towards Jacob and towards Israel, so too he's shown his grace towards us as Christians. He's chosen us and called us. He loves us. He's saved us. Why us, not our neighbours? What have we done to deserve it? We're all aware of the sin and evil in our lives, how we like to go our own way, not God's, aware of all the greed and the hate and the jealousy and all the rest in our lives. As we look around at non-Christian neighbours and friends, we see plenty of others who are not Christians, but at least on the face of it, seem more deserving of being chosen and called by God. We've done nothing to deserve God's grace, no merit of our own, but he's chosen us and he shows his love and grace towards us. And yes, it can be hard to understand why God acts the way he does, why he chooses and accepts some but not others. But rather than question his actions, let us just accept that it is his right and respond with acts to his acts of grace with love and worship as we seek to follow him. So throughout this chapter, we see God's grace. But we're now going to think about Abel and Cain, the two brothers. Right at the start, we see that they had a faith in God because they brought their offerings to him. And for them, worship was a natural part of life. And their gifts showed their gratitude, their faith, their love of God. As we shall see, they nevertheless came to worship with different attitudes. So briefly, first of all, we think of Abel. Why his offering was accepted. I think we need to consider why that was in order to fully understand why Cain's was not accepted. As we read the passage, it looks as though Abel had a real conviction and a real deep faith and love for God. In verse 4, we read that he was a sheep farmer and he offered the best of his flocks. He brought fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock. Now the fat portions, they were the tastiest bit of the lamb. They were the best. They were the part that you would give to a guest. Only the best was good enough for Abel to offer to God. But in offering his firstborn too, he was demonstrating his faith and his trust in God. He could have no certainty of the number of lambs that would be born. There would be stillbirths. The flocks could be ravaged by disease, attacked by predators. But Abel didn't wait till he knew all the lambs had been born, how many he had, and then made his offering. He offered the firstborn, trusting that God would indeed increase his flocks. Offered the firstborn with gratitude for all the blessings of previous years, with trust for future provision. So Abel's offering was an act of love and trust and faith. And indeed, Abel is listed in that great chapter 11 of the book of Hebrews, in verse 4, as one of the heroes of faith. For it says, by faith, Abel offered God a better sacrifice than Cain. By faith, he was commended as a righteous man when God spoke well of his offerings. As Abel was no better than Cain, no cleverer, and nothing exceptional about him that was not a mark of Cain that means that God would accept his offering. His offering was accepted because of his faith and his love for God. But Cain came to God with a very different approach. He actually came, I suspect, with no real deep faith, no real love, no sense of gratitude. Verse 3, Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord. Just some. Suggests perhaps he came to sacrifice out of a habit. It's what you did. It's like coming to church just because it's Sunday or Christmas or Easter. You come out of a sense of duty. Perhaps he was going through the motions of worship with no conviction or enthusiasm, no joy or sense of gratitude, no realization of his dependence upon God. Perhaps he saw coming to worship as a bit of a chore, thinking he'd better make an effort just to try and keep on the right side of God. There was nothing special about his offering as there was with Abel's. It was just some of what he had grown, his produce. Maybe the offering was made after the harvest, when his barns were full, when he knew how much he had, and calculated the minimum that it might be acceptable to offer, or how much he could afford. Or perhaps he was offering the imperfect or damaged produce, a bit like in the supermarkets, you now get the misshapen fruit and veg. Nothing actually wrong with them, but they're a second quality. They're misshapen. And so he was showing a lack of trust and a lack of gratitude. We see, too, he was prone to fits of anger. Anger towards his brother Abel, perhaps, provoked by jealousy because Abel's offering had been accepted. And perhaps there was a rivalry between the two brothers, and there'd been other slights, real or imagined. He was angry with Abel. But anger too towards God, because God had accepted Abel's sacrifice, but not his. And so he had come to worship with a wrong attitude, but his heart was not right. It was full of anger. And Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verses 23 and 24, that if you offer your gift at the altar, remember that your brother has something against you. Leave your gift and be reconciled to your brother. Then come and offer your gift. We see that Cain's whole attitude to God and to worship was wrong. He was showing a lack of trust in God, a lack of gratitude and love. Perhaps a little bit of a slapdash approach to worship, which he saw as a duty or a chore. And he was harbouring anger and jealousy in his heart. And to Cain, it seemed so unfair. In his own eyes, he hadn't done anything different to Abel. He'd come and made his offering too. So why was his not accepted? You see, Cain couldn't accept or couldn't understand a lesson of God's rejecting his offering. The lesson being that he needed to put God first in his life. He wanted to set his own rules for his relationship with God. And he couldn't understand or accept that he needed to change. He wanted God to change, to lower his standards and demands. And if Cain was here in Christchurch tonight, I suspect it would be because it is Sunday. And so he'd come to church and he put a few coins in the collection. He'll join in the singing of the songs. He'll hear the words of the prayers, but he probably won't really be praying them. But he hopes that that's enough, that God will be happy with that. He'll live the rest of the week with no thought of God, as if he doesn't exist. You see, for Cain, his problem was not that not with God, that his offering hadn't been accepted. It was a problem with him, not accepting God as his Lord, not putting God first in his life. And Psalm 51, verse 17 says that we join together, saying at the beginning of the service, "The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart you will not despise." But Cain wasn't prepared to do that. He couldn't understand. He needed to humble himself, to put his faith and his trust wholly in God, his creator and sustainer. And it would be sad if we had to leave the story there. But we do see here again in these verses God's graciousness. For even though he didn't accept the offering that Cain brought, he says in verse 6, "Why are you angry?" And verse 7, "If you do what is right, will you not be accepted?" God graciously says the door to a relationship is still open. But that rejection was not final, not forever. And when he says do right, he doesn't mean just living a good life, not trying not to hurt anyone, living a good lifestyle, doing good, coming to church, all the rest, and then be accepted. Because if that was all that was necessary, Cain and each one of us as well would just be accepted as we are, with no need to change. Now, doing right means putting our faith and our trust in God, following him and his ways, living for him and not for ourselves, living in trusting obedience. And if Cain and ourselves, if we put God first, we'll be accepted despite all our weaknesses, all our failings. Because Abel's sacrifice was accepted because he put his faith in God and not in his own words, works and deeds and lifestyle. But God, being gracious, meant that Cain was not rejected forever. The door was still open for him to enter, to come through into a relationship with God. There is also a warning in verse 7. If you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must master it. Words echoed in the New Testament in Peter's letter, first letter, chapter 5 and verse 8. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. As Cain needed to amend his attitudes, to follow God, to follow his ways, and to master his anger and his bitterness, else he would fall into the clutches of the power of sin and the devil. He needed to honour God, to let God be his master, or else he would be mastered by his own sin. And sadly, that is what happened. He was mastered by his anger and by his sin as he went on to murder his brother Abel. So we may not understand God's ways. It may seem he acts in a pretty unfair manner at times. And we may come to him too with wrong attitudes or motives. But there is this good news that he is gracious. That he does still show grace and love and mercy to all who seek to do right, put their faith and trust in him and in his son Jesus, who died on the cross to take away the sin, the barrier that comes between us and God. So if we do right, then however imperfectly we seek to follow him, we will be accepted, for no one is rejected forever. And God offers his grace to all. There is no one beyond the pale. Amen. So, like Cain, we need to come to God. We need, in the words of the next song, to let our hearts be changed and renewed as a result of the grace that we find in him. So please stand as we sing our next song together. Lord, I come to you.